Lord Jesus, Father, we come before you this evening, Lord, just so grateful for an opportunity. Once more, we can come and gather with believers and gather with you, you in our midst, Lord, to lead us and guide us into all truth, to fulfill your word to your bride. Lord, it's the greatest thing, it's greatest the pleasure, the privilege we can have, Lord, to be able to do this. And yet, because of the battles and because of our weakness and because of the pressure we face, so many times we just don't esteem this as highly as we should. This is literally putting us into a rapture, Lord. This is preparing us for that great day that's coming. Lord, tonight, help us to understand better, Lord, the significance of what you are doing, Lord, how important it is, how... Just let us lay aside the things that would interfere tonight, Lord. Help us to hear your voice, to respond, to believe it, Lord. I ask you to open the word to us, Lord, this message you put on my heart, Lord, that just give an anointing, Lord, that it can come freely, Lord, that there's no hindrance. And then help us, Lord, to leave here closer to you, knowing you more, loving you more, believing you more, Lord, than we do now, stronger in the faith. I pray for the ones who aren't here tonight, Lord, that you would watch over them, keep them safe, Lord. Just give us what we have need of. We ask this, Lord, in your name. Amen. If you turn in your Bible to Colossians, the first chapter, and we're going to continue with our thought of the threefold purpose of God tonight again. And this is just really going a lot of different avenues I wasn't expecting, and this is the way God's leading, so we'll just keep going until he's finished with it. Amen. Colossians, 1 Colossians 1 and 25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I'm going to read from Revelation 10, just this very familiar scripture. 10:1, and I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud and a rainbow upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. He had in his hand a little book open. So right now we see that we know that this great mighty angel was Christ, and the book was open when he came down. He set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. So brother and sister, he was on earth. He was on earth when this happens. He said, and he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And Brother Branham said that shows it wasn't just a boom or a blast. It was a voice. It was someone speaking because he was going to write it down. I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God shall be finished, as he has declared to his servants the prophets may be seated. And we know that when it said there should be time no longer, he's talking about there should not be any more delay. And not a time no longer as if he takes a big axe and just chops, okay, time is done. Everything is finished up, which so many people thought. That is not what that word means. It means no more delay. It's time now to continue to finally fulfill the last part of the story, to reveal the mystery, to find out what it's all about. And no more. There's nothing anymore to delay. I'm getting off my subject, and that's all right. Look, brother and sister, what was causing the delay up to this point? Here Christ wanted a bride. He had started a church at Pentecost. He had come down and the church had gone on through the church ages. But it got to a point, they got all mixed up with all man's ideas. When that happens, every time man gets a hold of something God's doing, he puts his own idea to it. He gets his own thoughts. He hybrids the word and you run off on this and you run off on that. It's been that way ever since the Garden of Eden, and it will continue that way until this age stops it cold.
The bride this day stops and says, we're not doing that anymore. And how do we do that? By the opening of the word, the breaking of the seals, and those seven thunders uttering their voices. I'm trying to preach on seven thunders tonight, but I'm just stuck here on this for a second, so just bear with me, all right? Brother and sister, that delay from keeping this happen for Christ to get his bride was delay. It was caused by the hybriding of the word, by man putting their own ideas into it, and so it could only come so far and then run off on this idea. It comes so far and run off on this idea. He could not get it to the final thing, that last seed, that bride, that's a perfect seed sitting there, bringing to a maturity and ripening there in the sun. But brother and sister, when that seals were open, that book was open, this book became a new book, and the prophet came, and through the word, he tied this together, and it finally made sense. We finally understood what was going on, and what Paul said, Christ in you, the hope of glory, is finally being manifested. He said, okay, now you got the idea. Now there's nothing to stop it from happening. Let's finish this up. My goodness. No more delay. It's like you go to see a movie, right? Oh, you go to see movies. You go to see a movie, and they have all the previews. And you're thinking, I came to see Star Wars, and I got to see all this previews and all this going on. And finally, they come up, and then they got to show all the pre-credits and all this stuff beforehand. Get to the story. I want to see the movie. And finally, after your popcorn is gone and your Coke is gone, you had to get up and go to the bathroom. They're finally ready to show the movie. All right, no more delay. That's what's been going on. All the precursors, all this is showing in type, showing type, showing type. And here's Christ, and here's God. And it's all important. Don't get me wrong. It's all important because we had to have all of that so we could recognize Christ in our day, because we saw all his characteristics. We see how he acted down through the ages, so we know how he's going to act today. And we also saw how the Antichrist spirit acted down through the ages, so we can understand now what he's doing today. What if those first four seals hadn't been opened? The four horse riders. What was that all about? That was about us understanding who the Antichrist was. That four horse rider, they're showing his characteristics, his attributes, riding down through the ages. So when we see the Antichrist riding on the pale horse today, we can look at it and say, no, that's the Antichrist spirit. They might call themselves message believers, but that's the Antichrist spirit that's driving them. Absolutely, brother and sister, don't fool ourselves. That Antichrist, that pale horse is riding strong through the message ranks today, deceiving people left and right. Because why? They never caught the revelation of Christ today. That's what the problem. That's why he said, there will be, he swore. Oh, I like it. He was standing on the third. He said, there will be no more delay. It's time to finish up this story. Amen. That gets me excited. He spoke with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And then seven thunders uttered their voices. And John was going to write it down, and the voice said, don't write that down. It's not written down. Tonight we want to speak on the seven thunders. Now, let me just start off by saying, I do not know what they are. All right? So if you got excited, oh, I'm finally going to know what the seven thunders are. Sorry to burst your bubble. I'd start you off with a disappointment. I don't know what they are. What is the first thunder? I don't know. What's the third one? I don't know. I don't have any idea. I have an idea. My own thoughts on it, I could come up, stand up here and say, well, I think it's this. Well, I think it might be this. I think it might be that. But what good would that do for me to preach my thoughts? Who cares what I think? I don't care what I think. I don't care what you think. What does God think? What does he say about it? And until he tells me specifically and shows my, you know, by revelation, this is what it is, I'm not going to go up here and try and pretend I know something. How foolish would that be? But we want to look at some of the characteristics, and we want to look at some of the things so that when the seven thunders are manifest, we recognize what they are. Because they do have to sound. They do have to be opened. We do have to understand what this is about. But let's look about how God does. First of all, we want to find out that these seven thunders uttered
during the opening of the seals.
Brother Branham said this in the seventh seal. He said, now what this great secret is that lays beneath this seal. He's talking about the seventh seal. He said, I do not know. I don't know it. I couldn't make it out. He's talking about this great secret. I couldn't tell it just what it was and just what it said. But I know it was them seven thunders uttering themselves right close together, just banging seven different times. And it unfolded into something else that I seen. So he said, I don't know what it is, but under this seventh seal, it was the seven thunders that uttered seven times. Very confusing. What does all that mean? It means he didn't know, and we don't either, until it's been real. Now, let me stop right here. You might know. I'm not going to say you don't know what those seven thunders are, because maybe you do. Maybe you've heard it preached before somewhere. I don't know. I know they had this movement called the Seven Thunders Movement, where they went off and congregated and denominated over some idea, and it showed their two colors. I guess there's still people who follow that, but they went off the path a long time ago. That wasn't the real Seven Thunders. It showed it. It manifested it wasn't. All right? But he said it does sound under the seven thunders uttering themselves right close together beneath that seal. He says, now there's some reason that God let the seven voices be thundered, because it must come. So those seven thunders must utter. We find that Christ, the Lamb, took the book in his hand. He opened that seventh seal. But you see, it's a hidden mystery. No one knows it, but it's right along with what he said. No one would know his coming. They also would not know about this seven thunder mystery. So you see, it's connected together. So here it comes, and there is the seven seals were open, and John wrote the first seal, second seal, all the way down. He got to the seventh seal. He said, oh, they're just silence. Nothing happened. He came, and it was time to, the seven thunders uttered. It was time to write that. He said, no, don't write that down. It's a secret. And later on, we talked about this before. Brother Branham said the reason it can't be known is because if Satan knows it, he will do great damage. And so, brother and sister, we can't know anything that Satan can still use to do damage. There are some things that's already been manifest, and it's too late for him to do damage. But there's other things hasn't been manifest, and so God's keeping it a total secret. Because he is going to make sure that there is no delay anymore. We are going to finish this off. And so we're going to manifest it, and then he's going to show us what he did. We'll get into that in a little bit. All right? Has to happen under the opening of the seventh seal. And we just saw last week or the week before, whenever it was, that that seventh seal was absolutely preached when he preached Christ is the mystery of God revealed. That was the preaching of the seventh seal. It's our job to manifest it. Just knowing that isn't enough, brother and sister. Well, I believe all the seven seals are open. That's wonderful. But have you manifested your part of it? See, because we have to be manifesting it, brothers and sisters. So what I'm saying here is, I know this is going to stay with me tonight. Brother Branham had to preach the seven thunders. Oh, I knew that was going to get some looks. All right. You say, how can that be, brother and sister? How can that be, brother Phil? Because look, the word comes to a prophet. A prophet has to sound those thunders. It's got to be a prophet. Now, if Brother Branham didn't do it, and it happened under the opening of the seals, if Brother Branham preached the opening of the seals, then those thunders had to sound when he was preaching the opening of the seals. How could it be anything else? You say, but he never preached the seven thunders. He never said it was, because he himself said he didn't know. But at that point, he hadn't preached seventh seal either, because it came later when he preached Christ is a mystery. He said, this sounds awful mysterious. Just hang around with me tonight, and I'm going to find out that it's really simple. If Brother Branham did not preach those thunders, then another prophet has to come and preach it, because the word comes to the prophets. It's got to be a prophet, brother and sister. You still with me on this? Say, well, maybe it was a voice on earth speaking. And I go right here, I'm gonna read something right here. Well,
Listen, this is what he said. Look where the voice was in the thunders, not in heaven, on earth. The thunders never uttered from heaven. They uttered from the earth, and they said it was a voice speaking. He said there was something said. It wasn't just a noise. Something was said. He was about to write, and it was said from earth. Now, if it's said from earth and it's the opening of the word, it's got to come through a prophet. Now, either Brother Branham preached it, either they sounded through his ministry, or Brother Joseph Branham is going to, if you believe he's a prophet, or another prophet has to come and do it, but it's got to come through a prophet. Amen. He said, well, Brother Phil, then that means it's right here in the message already. Yes, it is. I don't know about that, Brother Phil. You're getting a little bit off on the deep end. Stick around. Let's find out. Listen to what he says here. I saw on the right hand of him that sat upon the throne a book written within. The writing was with inside. And on the back side, sealed with seven seals. Now there's writing on the inside of the book, but on the back side had seven seals on the back of it that wasn't written in the book. Now this is the Revelator talking, John. Now remember, it wasn't written in the book. And in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, all this mystery that's written within should be finished. It should be taken care of in that day. Now, do you see what I mean? Then is the time for the seven voices of Revelation 10 to be revealed. That's the seven thunders. When the book is finished, there's only one thing left, and that is the seven mysterious voices of thunder that was wrote on the back side of the book John was forbidden to write. So he's talking about this. He said it wasn't even written in the book. Later on down to the same, let me get skip just to save time. He said, I was about to write when I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. It was on the back side. When a book is complete, now he didn't say on the front side, he said on the back side. After it's all been completed, then these seven thunders voices After it's all done, completed, then the seven thunders voices is the only thing that is stuck to the book that's not revealed. It's not even written in the book. All right? So he said, John saw it, but he was not allowed to write it. And so he said, it's not even written in the book. Brother and sister, it's in this book. Those thunders are in this Bible because you can't add to this and you can't take away. So, brother and sister, whatever those thunders are, they are laying in the Bible as a mystery. Has to be, because otherwise you're adding to it if you add something else. Brother Branham said what? He said, I preach what Paul preached. Everything Brother Branham said, he said, take it back to the Bible and see if it's according to the word, what I preach. Everything Brother Brennan preached comes out of the Bible. He did not preach anything that wasn't in the Bible. He said, what about the seven seals? They were not, yes, they were in the Bible. John wrote them. Remember? All seven seals, he got to the seventh one, he said it was silence. He talked about the horse rider. Did we understand it? No, it was written in a mystery. But Brother Branham did not go outside of the Bible to open the seals. He went into the Bible, and he found out what it was. He tied the loose ends together, and we said, oh, now I see. It was already in there. What else? Jesus had preached the six seals in Matthew 24. Go back and read the sixth seal. Listen to what Brother Branham, he takes and he shows where. In Matthew 24, Jesus absolutely preached the six seals. And he said when he got to the seventh seal, he went off into parables. He never opened the seventh seal. Jesus himself didn't preach the seventh seal. It was a secret. When John came, he saw it. It was a secret. Why? Because it could only be opened in this day. And when it was opened, seven thunders uttered their voices. Think about it. Where are we at? What day are we living in? It's got to be in the Word, brother and sister. It's got to be in it. Let me read some quotes. Brother Brand said this, I believe that the Bible's... I'm sorry, I am so excited. I got to calm down. I can't even read. I believe what the Bible says to be the truth. I believe that's God's Word. And in order to believe that, I got to surrender my whole life, my whole will to that, to believe that that is the truth and there's nothing else but that. There's no more to be added to it or none taken away from it. That's just the way it's supposed to be. He's talking about this Bible right here. He said it's just the way it's supposed to be. So when people go in there and find fault with it, they say there's errors. They say all they want about it. It was written that way for a purpose so that the eyes of the humble would see it. And for those who were not humble, they'd be blinded. He said, anybody that will take out of that book or add two of the same will be taken out of the book of life, said God in Revelation. That is God's complete will and revelation of Jesus Christ to the people. Right there. It's the complete will and revelation of Jesus Christ. That's right. Now, in order to do that, I must believe that God's word's absolutely the truth. All right, so that was what he said about this Bible. Now, let's go ahead and read something else he said. He was talking about when the guy came up, he put his arms around him, he started talking, he started speaking in tongues. You all remember that? And he said, this man came up here, put his arms around me. He said, Brother Branham, not to be sacrilegious, but that could have made the 23rd chapter of Revelation. All right? He had just been so inspired by what Brother Branham said. He said that you could have just preached the next chapter in the Revelation. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, another book added. Of course, he said, that wouldn't be right, of course. We're not supposed to add anything to it. So he said, now, the guy he said right there, he said, now that, of course, isn't going to work because you can't add anything to this. Brother Branham did not add anything to the Bible. He preached what was in the Bible. He took what was in the Bible and made it make sense. Let me read something else he said. Unveiling of God, 1964. Now, someone has been, many been saying to me, theologians said, Brother Branham, with your experience that the Lord has given you for his people, humbly saying this, said, you'd be eligible to write a Bible yourself, your word that God has manifested. Doesn't it sound good? It sounds wonderful. Yeah, but all that God has shown you, you could write, you could add to the Bible, brother. I said, that might be true. See, he was trying to catch me, see? I said, but you see, I couldn't do that. He said, why couldn't? You have all the qualifications. He is a prophet. These others were prophets who wrote the Bible. Why couldn't Brother Branham add to it as a prophet? I said, but look, one word cannot be added or taken away. He said, well, then them seven thunder. Let me stop right there. One word can't be added or taken away because at the very end of Revelation, when he said no one can add or take from the book, that was the finish of this written book, brother and sister. This was a complete revelation in book form. Well, you know what Brother Jewel was talking about, son? It's so good. He said, you know, some people say, well, would you take them? If you had to make a choice, would you take the Bible or would you take the message? It's the most ludicrous discussion. You can't have one without the other. One is they're the same, brother and sister. One is just a further expounding of what's in the Bible. It's like say, I want a tree, but I don't want it to be wood. Well, if you got a tree, you have wood. You can't separate them. It's just ludicrous. They show us they have an education. They don't have a revelation. He said, one word cannot be added or taken away. He said, well, then them seven thunders, wouldn't them seven thunders blasting out, won't that be a revelation to give some man? He's saying, wouldn't that be having something else added? I said, no, sir, it would be adding something to it or taking something from it. It's all revealed in there, and the seven seals opened up the revelation of what that was. My. He said, talking about the seven thunders, he said, it's all revealed in there in the Bible, and the seven seals open up the revelation of what that was. He's still in the Word. You see, you can't get out of that Word. It won't leave the Word. And God's Spirit will never leave that Word. It'll stay right with the Word, blinding some and opening the eyes of others. It'll always do that. So where are you tonight? Are you being blinded or are your eyes being opened? Because right there is the Word to do it. The seven thunders is in the Bible. But he said it's not been written. He said, it's not even written in the book. Now, how can he say both things? Very simple. Very simple. When Jesus preached the six seals, did anybody know that he had preached the six seals? No. Until the prophet of our day came along and showed, hey, the sixth seal been laying there the whole time. You can say, well, were they written in the Bible? Well, it wasn't written out like John wrote them out. These are the seals, but they're still in there. So that's the same thing. The thunders are not written out here. Here's the first thunder. Here's the second thunder. Here's the third. It's not written like that. Why? To keep it hidden. Because these thunders are the most hidden thing there is. It was never written out and said, this is the thunder. But it's all in there. Because the prophet just said it was. All right. He said, well, then how in the world is this going to work, Brother Phil? I'm glad you asked. Brother Brandon said, I preach what Paul preached. Excuse me. What did Paul preach? The opening of the seals? Nope, but he preached what Brother Branham used to open the seals with. Colossians. What did he say? This great mystery from down through the ages and generations that God has wanted to give out to the people. And what was that great mystery? Christ in you, the hope of glory. The great mystery of God. Paul says it right there. Brother Branham comes along and he preaches, Christ is the mystery of God revealed. And he took it and said, now that great mystery that God, that Christ had, that God had, was a threefold purpose. So he took what Paul preached and he just made it, he just brought the truth out of it, the depth of the truth that was in Christ in you, the hope of glory. And the Christ in you, the hope of glory, is that you manifest Christ's threefold purpose. I can't wait till we get to that part. To find out what is this threefold purpose and how do you manifest it. It's all in there, brother and sister. Brother Branham stayed right with the word and he preached the same thing Paul preached. And Paul had preached, Christ is the mystery. Christ in you. That mystery is Christ in you. It's the same thing, but brother and sister, Brother Branham just brought it and brought out the depth of the revelation of it to a greater point. Why? Because there's no more delay. It's time for us to know it. Time to know for us to know what needs to be manifested in our day. Who knew? Tying the loose ends together. Let me ask you this. Serpent seed. Try to make sense of the Bible without serpent seed. You got a lot of loose ends. Big loose end. You eat this apple and you see you're sinful. You sinned. That's a huge loose end. What is this, like magic beans or something? Come on, that doesn't even come close to making sense. You got to stay with God's law. But if you take serpent seed and understand it, all of a sudden the virgin birth makes sense. All of a sudden the bride being a pure virgin bride makes sense. Without that, it's just a story. It's like a fairy tale. This prince came along and he saw this woman with really long hair and he climbed up her hair to get, come on. This ain't no fairy tale. By the way, Brother Branham didn't originate serpent seed. He's not the first one to preach. It's been preached down through the years lots of times. Paul preached it. Back in Corinthians, Paul preached serpent seed. It was hidden. The way he preached it, he's talking about Eve being beguiled and all, you know, being all. He said, I don't have the scripture, but you know what I'm talking about. Brother, sister, it's all in there, but the prophet came along to tie it together so we could see what? Christ. His whole purpose was to preach Christ. He said, if you don't see Christ in every scripture, go back and read it again. You missed it. Well, what does that mean? Jesus was back there in Genesis? Not Jesus, the man who was crucified, but Christ, the Word manifest, the Logos, down through the ages. He's always been there, manifesting himself, showing a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit more. Why? So that today, when it's time for us who will not be deceived, we have the full revelation so we can see exactly what's Christ and exactly what isn't, because it's going to be so close. Only the elect won't miss it, won't be deceived. Yes, sir. You say, well, Brother Phil, how could Brother Branham preach the sounding of those seven thunders and not know about it?
How could he preach that and not say, well, that must have been the thunders? I mean, as far as I know, the rest of his ministry, he never turned around and said, you know what, that was the sounding of those thunders. He never said it that I know of, and I think I've read and heard everything he preached. I know I have since then. Well, let's look at something. Brother Branham said this, 1964, recognizing it. He said, the seven trumpets was to call a day of mourning back for the sacrifice or the atonement. We found out then that the seven trumpets pertained only to Israel. And then, why he wouldn't let me preach them seven trumpets? I even was ready to announce it. Had the halls ready and everything to go preach the seven trumpets. And I said, there's something bothering me so bad. We kept on working. Billy and all of us trying to get everything ready for the air-conditioned building for this next coming week for the seven trumpets, having 8 days, had the school auditorium. He was going to preach the seven trumpets just like he had preached the seven seals, take one trumpet per night all the way through there. He's got had done the seals. Now it's time to open the trumpets. And he got everything ready. They got the school auditorium. They were working to get all the planning done. But he said, yet something kept bothering me so bad. Something was just bothering him about this whole thing. But he kept on working. But the Holy Spirit wouldn't let me do it for some reason, and I wondered why. And sincerely, I knelt down before God to pray, and he revealed to me that them seven trumpets sounded under the sixth seal. And I've done preached it supernaturally. Think about it. Hear the prophet of God, who some people think was deity, and he never made any mistakes, and he knew exactly God's perfect will every time. He was working his tail off and having everyone trying to prepare for this great series of meetings called the Seven Trumpets, and God said, you've already preached it. Wait a minute. You telling me Brother Branham had missed God's will? Oh, that would just pretty much herald most message believers. Well, no, he couldn't have. He did. God was trying to tell him not to do it. He said, I kept something bothering me so bad, but Brother Branham had in his own mind that I need to preach these seven trumpets. So he kept on going until God finally got to get him to say, stop. I don't want you doing this. You know what the problem is? People will not allow him to be a human being. They won't allow him to be a man. They won't allow him to be a prophet. They have to have him God. And for me to stand up here and say, well, he missed the will of God on that, they think I had just blasphemed. I haven't, brother and sister. I'm telling you the truth. Brother Branham was a man. Let him be a man. Oh, my goodness, people. Come on. Aren't you glad he was a man? He had preached the trumpets, found out it wasn't even for us, but they're open under the seventh. They said they sounded under the sixth seal. I done preached it supernaturally. It ain't even for us. So God was saying, don't waste your time preaching the trumpets. That's for the Jews. Now I got to ask you something. If that's for the Jews, how are they going to find out? A prophet. Two prophets are going to come and preach those trumpets to the Jews. Where are they going to get it from? From our sixth seal. Yes, sir, brother. God hasn't done anything out of order. You think Moses and Elijah aren't going to read the message of the hour and see, oh, I see what's going on. Of course, it's for them. This is a finishing up. It's no more delay. It's this message is calling us. It's also going to go to the Jews. The prophets there are going to take that message to the Jews. It's not going to be the one we have as far as with the bride getting ready, but it's going to be tailored to meet the Jews' needs. And those trumpets are for the Jews. He said, see, it's the hand of God, the whole thing. It pertains to Israel. We picked it up under the sixth seal, and you all have that now, the persecution of the Jews. That's what it's for, brother and sister. So here he had preached it without knowing it at the time, not even the prophet. Does that bother you? I hope not. If it does bother you, let me put it this way. I hope it does, because maybe it'll bust that old idolatry. That idolatry where we think Brother Branham knew everything all the time. He did not. Well, then I lose confidence. If he did everything he said wasn't thus saith the Lord, maybe I'm going to lose confidence. Well, maybe you need to, because your confidence isn't an idol. Your confidence is not in the Word, brother and sister, if something like that shakes you up. Can I just say this? Brother Branham is not my absolute. The Word is my absolute. How do you know? Because it's the voice of God speaking through the message of the hour. That's your absolute, brother and sister. That's your confidence. Otherwise, you got to sit there and figure out, well, Brother Branham said this. Was that right or that right? Well, was he right here or right? Or was he wrong? You're just trying to educate yourself on what was right and what was wrong, as if you're going to have some kind of written test to take in order to go in the rapture. Brother and sister, the whole thing is Christ in you, the hope of glory, and that happens when you hear the voice of God in your day and you accept it, and it produces Christ. You don't have to sit there and worry what Brother Branham said. Was this right? Was it wrong? Or whatever. Brother and sister, just listen for the voice of God. And if the voice of God, you are accepting it, it is changing your life. It is making you more Christ-like. And if the message, if the word that's being preached over this pulpit by Brother Jerry and me, if it's producing Christ in somebody, then it's the right word. And if it's not producing Christ in you, then guess who's got the problem? Because if it will produce Christ in one person, it will produce Christ in the next person who comes on the same basis. If you come to Christ on the same basis as the last person who got the Holy Ghost, he is obligated to give you the Holy Ghost the same way. And if this word that's been preaching has been bringing people to a new birth, it will bring everybody to a new birth who will accept it. My, that just makes me happy. Think about it. You might be sitting and saying, well, I don't know, Brother Phil. I see God doing things in other people. It's not having an effect on me. Guess whose problem it is? It ain't the Word's problem, because if it producing Christ and Brother Paul, it'll produce Christ and Brother Gene too if they come the same way. It's so simple. It takes all the worry out of it. Oh, hallelujah. It takes all the worry, all the fear, all the doubt, everything Satan throws at you. All you say is, I saw this produce Christ in my brother, then it'll produce Christ in me if I come under the same conditions. What's the conditions? He believed. She believed it. She accepted what was preached. Although it skinned the hide off her back, she still said, you know, that's still the truth. I'm not going anywhere. And when Satan comes and argues and takes this evidence and that evidence and that quote and that scripture and shows, proves you're not, he said, I'm just going to sit here and accept it the way the other people did. I'm going to be guaranteed to make it. All your religion means nothing. Who cares? Oh. Let me go to one more thought here. Then how are we going to know, Brother Phil? How are we going to know what these thunders are? How is it going to happen? Let me read out of Christ as a Mystery. Brother Branham says this. He said, all those things typed him. He's talking about all down through the prophets. Just in type, but yet the mystery was hid. Them men didn't know what they were doing. How many times through the Bible, the people didn't even recognize, didn't know what they were doing. God told them to do something, they did it, and then God showed them what was happening. They only knew that they were led by the Spirit to do something. now holding it back in the last days for the great revelation, but expressing it. So they were doing things, he expressing a little bit of Christ in Moses, a little bit in Elijah, a little bit in Joseph, all the way down, but holding it back, the great thing for the last day. If we would catch that revelation just really strong and recognizing that all that was down, all that happened down there was for now. For he said there will be no more delay. It's for us in this time. This whole Bible was written. So that right now, we will not be deceived. We are going to make it. Do you really realize? Now, if that puffs you up, you're just a moron. I'm sorry. Because you just have an education. Ooh, that makes me really important. But if that really sinks into as a revelation, what God thinks of you, oh my goodness, think what he's doing for us. A humble little group of people like this, oh my goodness, think about it. Oh, express himself in Moses and David and Joseph and Elijah and on down through. We could take each one of those prophets and bring their lives out and show it express Jesus Christ perfectly, exactly, yet never giving his secret, giving his secret in full. So they all expressed a little bit, part of him, but never giving his secret in full. Waiting for it to be made known in the last days as he promised. Waiting for it to be fully comprehended before he could express it. It was time, expressing all the way through, but it's got to go on the last days, when the final thing, when the seals are open and he can finally, we can comprehend what's going on, then expresses everything. No more just part of it in Moses. No more just part of it in David. But fully comprehended and expressed through his bride. The fullness of the Godhead dwelling in the body of the bride, brother and sister. It's a little bit in you, a little in you, a little in you, a little in you. But all together we make up the very body of Jesus Christ. And this day, all that was through Moses, all the way through down through Elijah and David, he comes and is expressing it so we can see. But now it is time for us to express the full thing. When they look at the bride, they see Jesus Christ walking in flesh, the whole thing. Not in you individually, but as a body. And because it's in a body, brother and sister, it's still hid to the world. It's a mystery. He came and he exposed. Hey, look, he brought the prophet. What did the prophet do? He came and Christ expressed him so much to the prophet that so many message believers are still looking back to that expression of Christ. But that was an example, because the Holy Spirit through the prophet was the sheaf wave. But the sheaf wave just waved over the rest of the field to say the maturity that this has come to, the rest of you are coming to the same maturity. That's what it's for. That's why the prophet manifested Christ the way he did, so we can see what he looks like in human flesh, and then we know what our job is. We know what we're targeted for. We know what we're going to see. Oh, I'm not talking about the prophetic gifts. Just stop. Oh, we get that kind of power, people, right away. Oh, I want that kind of power. You don't even know what you're talking about. No, it's the character of Christ. The character of Christ that says, I only do what the Father shows me. The character of Christ. Look, Brother Branham did that. Remember, he was trying to preach the seven trumpets. And what did God say? He said, that's not what I want you to do. He said, okay, I'll do what the Father wants me to do. You and I come to that same maturity, brother and sister. He said, well, why was Brother Branham doing that? Look, sometimes God doesn't tell you exactly what to do. You just keep walking forward. But as long as you keep going forward, God can steer you. What if Brother Brandon would just sit down? What are we going to do now, God? You want me to preach the trumpets? You want me to do it? I don't know what to do. I'm just going to sit here and wait till you move me. God can't move you when you're sitting still. So keep walking. Keep pressing on, brother and sister. Then he can steer you. If you're heading the wrong way, he'll steer you back. Don't be afraid to go forward. What if I make a mistake? There's no what if. You will make mistakes. Quit worrying about it. What's that, your pride? Oh, maybe that's your pride. Worry about making a mistake. Oh, join the human race. goodness sakes, it's the best thing that can happen. Brother David and I were back there talking. The trial killing our pride is the best thing there is, brother and sister. It kills us, but my goodness, look what it works out in you. Christ. Who loves trials? Don't raise your hand. Say, well, things don't bother me much anymore. Just wait till tomorrow. God knows how to turn up the heat. But what does it do, brother and sister? It produces Christ. Let me just finish this quote. Because the Bible's written in mysteries. Jesus thanked the Father for it, that it was wrote in mysteries. Now, the coming of the Lord is in mystery. We don't know when he's coming, how he's coming, but we know he's coming. And so is all the mysteries of God waiting for this last day. Listen. After it's already been completed, then he reveals, he shows what he's done. Oh my, never gave his mystery in full. That's how God does things. He has someone do something, you're going about that, and then after it's done, he stops you, he turns around and says, now look what I just accomplished in you. Look at the word I just fulfilled in you. Let me give you an example. You like an example? John 12. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that, I need to calm down. On the next day, much people that were come to the feast, when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, took branches and palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, set thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh, sitting on an ass's colt. It was written. Now listen to what happened. These things understood not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, they remembered that these things were written of him and that they had done these things unto him. They had fulfilled the scripture, clueless what they were doing. But after he was glorified, maybe it was something like this. They're talking to someone and say, you know, Jesus was the Messiah. Well, how do you know? Because he was in the Word. Well, what? What is in the Word? What proves it? Well, let's go see what the prophet said the Messiah was going to be. Well, let's take this quote. It says, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass's colt. And the Holy Spirit directed their thoughts and, hey, you remember when you did that? You think they didn't get excited? Oh my goodness, there's a proof right there. He was the Messiah because we fulfilled the scripture by having him come in Jerusalem sitting on an ass's colt. He's done that for you, hasn't he? He's had you go through trials and you have no clue why you're going through a trial. You don't know what this is all about and you're ready to quit and you're getting all tore up and you get to it and you get a little breathing room. He said, now child, turn around and look. Let me show you what you've done. Let me show you something. You thought it was all about just going through hardship, but look at the word. Let me give you an example. Hebrews 12, it says, despise not the chastening of the Lord. He said, now no chastening seems pleasant at the moment, but afterward it works of peaceable works of righteousness or peacefulness, something like that. Fruit of righteousness. All right. Well, brother, sister, several years ago, soon after Brother Jerry got here, I was sitting in this pew, and I was just listening to Brother Jerry preach, and stuff he was saying was just going all over me. And I was twisting and turning, and I was like, oh, I don't know about that. I don't like this. I don't want to be here. Oh, just my old flesh just crying and weeping and whining, and because I didn't like the way things were going, and I didn't like the way he was preaching. And I got to a point where I said, you know what? I ain't going anywhere. There's no other place to go. I know what he's preaching is the truth. I see it's producing Christ. I see what this is God doing it. And God has not led me to go someplace else. I'm staying here. I don't care how he preaches. Short time after that, God took me aside. He said, I want to show you something, son. You ever have God call you son? He said, I want to show you something. You didn't despise the chastening of the Lord. You had the attributes of a son, not of a bastard born who can't deal with that chastening and has to leave. What you were going through, it seemed crazy because it should not have been bothering you. I was sitting there and said, why does this bother me? It shouldn't be bothering me, but it was.
He said, you were just fulfilling Hebrews 12. You handled this. You dealt. You accepted the chastening of the Lord. What was he doing? He was showing me I was fulfilling the scripture, and if I would continue to accept it, that's what he wants me to do. And brothers and sisters, since then, whatever Brother Jerry's been preaching, I'm going to accept it. I'm not going to argue, I'm not going to fuss. And that whole thing went away anyways. Because once it got past that, there's nothing to fuss about anymore. This was the greatest thing. And I'll promise you, sometime I've been in a situation like, God, you just need to really lay it to me today, because I need something to straighten me out. It was fulfilling the word. He told me afterward. Now let me tell you something. You know what else it did for me? It helped me understand who I am. It was telling me who I am. You had the attributes of a believer, of a son of God. It wasn't God proving to him who I was. God already knew who I was. He's proving to me who I was. Brother and sister, that's the greatest thing. That's where our faith comes from. When we see ourselves manifesting the word, he turns around and said, now see what I just did to you? I just used you to speak. I used you to minister to that person. I used you to love. I used you to bring a correction. I used you to do whatever I wanted to do. I used you to sit there in the pew and accept the chastening of the Lord while the person beside you is sitting there with a bad attitude. Tell you what, when God starts showing you yourself in the word and that you are fulfilling the part of the bride, if that don't make you happy, you're already dead. What more can you want? What more can you look for out of the preaching of the word except the God coming and showing you who you are by showing you that you are fulfilling the word? And so many of the times we don't know it while we're going through it. We don't know it while we're going through it. That's why Brother Branham said, just go on and live a good Christian life. Just be humble. Don't try to make yourself something. Don't go off after an ism. Don't try to figure something out. Why? Because every time we try to be bride, we screw it up. Every time we try to be a Christian, we mess it up. Every time we try to figure out, we are wrong. Just be led by the Spirit and he will get you there. Can we get that humble? Can we get that simple? Don't try to produce this. Oh, I got to figure out the seventh thunder, Brother Phil. Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, you're going to be wrong. And when you totally fail, come back to the word. Repent and come on back. Because you will mess it up. Mama. Just be humble. What's going to happen, Brother Phil? Brother and sister? Those thunders are laying in this Bible. They're in the message. And one day, after it's too late for Satan to do much damage, to hinder it, he's going to open it up and show us, this is what you've been manifesting. You have manifested the sounding of those thunders after it's too late for Satan to damage it. How's it going to be? I don't know. I could go a dozen different ways how that could happen. I'm not going to go any of them because I don't know. And I don't want to put any of my ideas in. Well, it's got to be this, because as soon as we start looking for it to be this way, God's going to do it this way. He's going to change it, and we're going to do something, and we're going to miss it because we're looking the wrong way. So just live a good, humble Christian life. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Come to church and let the word change you. All right? And when it's time for us to understand the mystery of those thunders, it's going to be the most simple, plainest thing. And we're going to look at it so clearly, like, it was there the whole time. How do we not see it? Because it wasn't time. Just same with the seventh seal. It's been there the whole time. How come so many people still don't see it? How come you see it and other people don't see it? Because you had eyes to see. You had ears to hear the voice of God, and it opened it up to you. It's a mystery to other people. Well, Brother Branham said the seventh seal ain't open. Until he comes and opens it, I'm not going to believe that it's open. You're not going to believe that it's open. You said it. Your own testimony. Because the voice of God has come and said, yes, it is open. Has to be. There it is, right in front of you. And brother and sister, like I said a couple weeks ago, whenever it was, you know the reason why it's okay for us that God opened that to us now? Because it's too late for Satan to do damage. We've already come too far down the road that you're not going to be thrown off. You're not going to be thrown off by someone taking that and preaching something different. You're not going to be thrown off by someone saying whatever was some deceptive or some person leaving the message because they can't explain this or can't explain that. You're not going to be thrown off. You've been grounded too strongly. That wheat that has grown up, you have come to play with that shuck pulling away. You have come to a place of maturity where it's too late for you to be lost. It's too late for you to be chasing after something else. Because there's no more leaves. There's nothing else after the wheat. You're at the very top. Everything else is pulled away. That's who you are. If you're a believer. Amen. So, Brother Phil, what are the seven thunders? I don't know. But you just keep walking a humble life. And one day we'll know. I don't know. Maybe Brother Jerry knows. He's never told me if he has. Maybe I know the preachers around who may know it or something. I don't know. But I do believe this. When we catch that revelation, our faith is going to be so strong. I mean, it's got to increase our faith so much. We got to be right there at the end, folks. Surely we're right at the end. Why would God be preaching these things? Why would he be saying these things if it wasn't time for it to be manifest? Amen. God bless you. Let's stand. I think the more mature we get in Christ, the more we realize that he just wants us to be like little babe, just trusting to daddy. Put your hand in his and just let him lead us and guide us. And we get more humble and just Christ-like. We're dropping our religion. We're dropping off all our attempts, all our efforts on our doctrines and all this stuff and just clinging to Christ. That's all he's been looking for the whole time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Lord Jesus, we're so grateful you would come, Lord, and meet with us again tonight, Lord. I pray that the word that came forth, Lord, is pleasing to you and that it would have the effect on each person here, Lord. That you would just take it, Lord, and let it be your voice speaking, Lord, and that it would the ones who need it, the ones who heard, that can hear, Lord, that it would go into their life, Lord, and just cause their faith to rise and cause them to believe. Help us, Lord Jesus. We are so helpless without you. We were singing that song, I can't even walk without you holding our hand. And Lord, the stronger we get, the more we realize that that's the truth. The stronger we get, the more we realize how much we have to depend on you for everything. And that's what you've always wanted, Lord, just a bride that just totally dependent on you, believing you, speaking your word, following you, loving you, Lord. And we can see that that's what you are producing through the preaching of your word. Lord Jesus, gives us so much joy in our hearts. I ask now that you go with each one. As we leave here, Lord, it's dark, it's raining outside. Keep us safe on the roads. Help us, Lord, as we finish out this week. And bring us back Sunday, Lord, walking in your spirit, in your love, in your joy, Lord, just ready to hear again from what you have to say to us. I ask this in your name. Let's sing that little chorus. God bless you. You're dismissed. Let's sing. Can't you see where I am?